Good afternoon. Today is Friday, July the 18th, 203rd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, it's a double team afternoon.
That's right.
From the Municipal Water District, we've got Carol is with us. Hi, Carol.
Hey, Brian. How you doing?
And you brought in Barb, too.
Well, she brought in me.
We're together.
I see a little carpooling going on here.
A little carpooling,
huh?
Oh, yes.
Thought it was a fun way to spend a Friday afternoon.
Okay.
Well, why not?
Well, I mean, you could be, like, checking out the lake.
That would
checking
be fun, too.
Checking out the river. I mean, was it about 65 outside, clear as a bell? And you're in here because you want to have fun.
Right. Okay. Yes. Sharing our information with everyone.
Oh.
Or a lot of people anyway, not everyone.
Yeah.
For those not at the
lake. That means you took the day off yesterday and you're making up for it today. Now I'm with you. This afternoon we'll get a little bit of a catch up, certainly with what the state of California did about a week ago? Final regs were Wednesday. Okay. We'll talk a little bit about that. I'm sure the ladies have got some opinions about Riodel and what they're having to do and why they're having to do, and some of the causal agents leading up to that. How's that? Huh? Is that really transparent? I hope not. And some of the illegal stuff that's going on out there in the waters shouldn't come as a surprise to any of us, but I think the magnitude might. So we'll talk to the experts. How's that for raising the bar, huh?
You guys are both experts now
when we come back.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish-language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Carol Reisch and Barb Heckathorn from the Humboldt Municipal Water District. But before we do our quote this afternoon, let's see. I got a journalism quote, and I've got a jealousy quote. Which one do you guys want?
Oh, let's go with the jealousy.
I know, Carol, you kind of deferred on that one.
I didn't want to make it 50-50, Brian.
Okay, our quote comes from Maya Angelou, recently deceased, huh? Jealousy is romance is like salt in food. A little can enhance the savor, but too much can spoil the pleasure.
Very nice.
Oh. Okay, the good governor decided to come down with his edict, formalized, in place. As soon as I heard it, I flashed to, and I forget, if I think it was one of the board, not 100% sure, who said, Willits doesn't even have water meters. How are they going to tell and establish a base reference for water reduction? Okay. And then Sacramento with the lawn watering, and they just pay a flat fee every month, and that's all she wrote, so there's no incentive to cut back. And then everything else in the state, and then I almost bemused if it wasn't so serious. But it's also, at least for me and many, it's a comeuppance too. Okay, Southern California, you guys don't like dams? Fine. You guys want to build in the desert? Fine. You love Palm Springs at 125 degrees? Fine. Deal with it. I know that's not the kumbaya attitude.
No.
So that's my perspective. What's yours?
Well, I think we are different from the rest of the state. We do have adequate water for our retail customers, and the ones that are suffering here would be agriculture. And to get the water to them is something we are looking at. We're looking at some kind of a bulk transfer, maybe, but we have to get permission from the state water board.
Humboldt County Ag? or right, is this the Central Valley Ag?
No, not Central Valley. I'm talking Humboldt County. Right. We don't have enough water here to save them in the valley. But you know, there is a problem. I mean, we're all one state. This is, you know, California. And we think of, you know, we should look and support each other, but I don't think we have enough water here, but we do have excess water. We have enough perhaps to share with our locals rather than, because we are looking at a pipeline perhaps going east or south to deliver our excess water. So if we can furnish our customers here, I think that's a better way to go.
The timeline for something like that, though, is going to be it's not next week.
I don't think so, and we're working with a government entity. So, but maybe because it's an emergency, that we may be able to accelerate it.
That Carol's now got her grin on. Okay, that's exactly what I just flashed to, because of the emergency status that the state has now declared.
Right.
You know, if it was a flood, I think we're more familiar with what to do with that and how that process occurs. With this, Carol, could this expedite either the east-west choo-choo in the relationship or running across the ridge lines going south? Is this as weird as it may sound, a window of opportunity?
This won't expedite any of the longer-term solutions. Any of the expedited treatment is solely around the drought and the current drought conditions, and they've set up processes to consider any change requests or any, you know, urgent short-term water supply needs. But the long-term horizon, we're still going to plug away on our water resource planning process and consider all three options, but that's going to play out on that kind of more normal schedule.
What happens when we get water in 3 months? The El Nino comes in, and does all the stuff then just get peeled back and okay, for a couple of months we were in tough sleds, but now we don't have to worry about it? Or is this something a little bit more draconian, or at least permanent might be a better term?
Well, you know, we're looking at, there's always the question of climate warming and if climate change, what is happening there, and if this is going to be an ongoing thing. I think it's wise for us to be prepared. And if we do get good rains this year and the next few years, I think we should still start looking at what we would do in case we have another drought again.
As the water entity or state as the state?
Well, I think the state has to also. I mean, they're looking at a water bond. They're debating on which water bond to go with, or what dollar amount to present. The governor is looking at $6 billion.
Yeah.
And then it was originally $11 billion.
It's 319.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take Two on KWSW three times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Carol Reish and Barb Heckerthorne. Ladies, the concept of the regulations and what the state is doing, that's one element of it. But I guess it's kind of like getting a Band-Aid and putting it on the dike and trying to plug it and say, okay, we've taken care of it with this little patch. Maybe we throw a little duct tape on it for good measure. It's not taking care of the real fundamentals that are in place that aren't going to change. You know, if you want water, you need to store it. If you're going to store it, that's called a dam. You can't have wild and scenic and expect somehow for the water to happen if you're building and your capacity is so large. Is anybody talking about the emperor's new clothes in this whole thing? Or is it more of a willy-nilly and nobody wants to offend anybody?
No, I don't think that's the case. I think that they are seriously looking at water storage underground or dams, and that's why they're looking at a water bond,
right,
to advance that.
So is the water bond just dollars for water related, or is it specific project related?
It's several different items. Water storage is one of them. We have assisting areas that have don't have much, you know, have much any funds to work with, and support them. And
yes, there's just a number of programs, like she's saying, for recycled water, for the local programs are play out through these kind of regional planning entities, trying to get the local and regional entities to develop the water resource solutions they need. But it is dollars dedicated to program areas, just like Barbara said. And they're still debating the amount. It's ranged from 6 to 8. The original bond, like Barbara said, was $11 billion. So I think they're trying to address it. There continues to be a real strong push for water use efficiency and conservation, ag,
right,
urban. And actually, you know, we do rail at the Southern California sometimes, and I think they still deserve some of that. But they have also really decreased per capita water use down there over the last few decades.
They just got more capitas.
They have many more capitas.
That's growing.
Well, that's what you can debate, is like, should it have ever been built in the desert? But they have many capitas.
But
they have really reduced their water use.
They're there. But they've also been draining out of a lot of the aquifers in the Colorado, right?
Right.
Well, the Colorado, they've always taken more than their allotted amount. And so the other states, you know, Arizona, Colorado, they're growing also in population, and they want their percentage back. So the amount that they are allotted is being reduced. So they have to look at a desal. They have to look at a reduction and recycling, and they have done a good job. But I was disappointed in seeing that they were using more water than less. But of course, if you're looking at population growth, that might be the equation.
Oh, maybe this is going to be that economic stimulator for our end of the state. You want water? Move up here.
Right. Well, that's been said many times.
Oh, really?
Yes.
With the attitude, too?
Yeah, well, I've heard that several times. You know, if you, instead of us sending water to you, then you come up and use our water.
Yeah.
And we would love to have a business entity, something to use our water. Since we've lost the pulp mills, that's been, you know, we have this excess water. We lost the income from the pulp mills. And so if we can find one of the main reasons, of course, is to protect our water rights, but it's also to replace the funds that we have lost. And if we can do that, and that will help fund our capital improvement projects.
Is anybody knocking on the door in the last month or two saying, hey, hey, hey? No,
not even, you know, Rio Dell has been cut back, and we haven't heard from them, have we, Carol?
No,
oh,
and that's where I'm
That's
I'm
after the commercial break.
Oh, sorry. Okay, we didn't get the memo, Brian.
Yeah, well, that's all right.
It's one of the things that we've talked on the show a number of times. It's both an opportunity and a challenge. We do have this great opportunity to put our water to use in the different areas we're considering, but there's no easy way to do it, which I think partly speaks to why no one has also knocked on our door.
Well, let's say, I mean, I don't. The big barge approach, is that enough? Does that have enough carrying capacity, or do we have enough ability to process through enough barges to make any difference?
Go ahead, Carol.
Well, we did a study on the marine-based transport, and you know, if the market was there and we were willing to do it, you'd get enough barges or ships we looked at. And we looked at 10 and 20 million gallons per day, which is a lot of water. Is that
one boat, two boats?
No, it's lots of boats.
Okay.
But the cost was high. All we did was look at the operating cost, and it came out to be $8,000 to $10,000 an acre foot.
That means what? For LA.
Certain ag water, the desal, the new Poseidon desal plant down by Carlsbad, they've signed a contract at $2,000 an acre foot. And that was just the transportation cost. That's not any other receiving infrastructure. This is untreated treating infrastructure. We want a contribution back. So just the economics
a
weren't
contribution
even
back?
A big check.
But the one thing that is, you got it.
We got it.
We
have it.
That's a black and white kind of a thing. Yeah.
So maybe the will they knock is going to change over time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're hoping that. But, I mean, my preference has always been to have some entity come here and have a large need, or several entities to replace the employment, the from the pulp mills.
Let us win.
Yes. Yeah.
KINS News and Information Times, 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540227, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Carol Reisch and Barb Heckethorn from the Humboldt Municipal Water District. The situation that Riodel and, you know, we hear Riodel, I'm presuming Scotia also. That might be a presumption, right? What are they dealing with? Why are they different? Are they? Is it just because they're not hooked up and have a contract with you guys, or is there something else going on there?
Well, we've never delivered water to them. They're out of our area. And with Riodel, the water board cut off water or asked for reductions on entities that are taking that have junior water rights. Scotia has a senior water right, so they aren't. There is anything before 1914 is a senior water right, and so you are able to withdraw. But I understand that Scotia is also cutting back. The dictate from the water board was for all of California. Everybody needs to cut back, and I think the general thought is not to waste water. We all need to look at not wasting, and sometimes you have to come out with a hammer to start, and then it can be softened as we go. But
sure, once you break the skull, then you just start massaging the arm.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
So they can drop anybody that's got the senior water rights can just drop it or pull it out of the river. And that's okay, and everybody's happy and knows what's going on. But anything past that point, if you weren't a player 100 years ago,
apparently, you have
a different standard that you have to work against.
The junior water holders. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, even there's like Barbara said, there's a demarcation in water rights, and the language they use is pre-1914 or post-1914. And 1914 is when the current water rights regime came into being. Pre-1914 rights are absolutely grandfathered in. They're the highest priority. Even post-19, the way water rights work, it's first in line, first in time. So it's chronologically based. So.
Oh, I see. So everybody after 1914 is not treated the same.
Yeah, exactly. It's first in line, first in time, even for post-1914 rights. So it depends then. This is, I think, one of the first times the state board has fully curtailed certain water right holders on certain river systems where they deemed there wasn't enough flow. So Riodel's, just like Barbara said, their water right got curtailed. And that's a little bit different than these regs that were passed just urging the public to, you know, lessen their outdoor
that's
water
sneaky.
Use.
They were hit harder.
They changed changed the entire rules of the game.
Yeah, it's just literally your water right that it would be illegal for them to be drawing water out of the Eel River with their water right. I also understand, and you know, we're not experts in Riodel, but I also understand they may be having some issues with their infiltration gallery because the river's so low.
Yeah, it almost looks more like a gravel bed than it does a river.
Yeah.
Huh.
And just to add on one more thing, Brian, that's what's also, as we understand it, affected a lot of ranching or ag interest, because a number of entities in that arena were also junior water right holders either on the Eel or the Van Dusen, and their water rights were cut.
So in that situation, somebody comes by and just turns off the spigot? Or is it an honor system? Because there's an awful lot of ranchers.
They're going to be monitored. How they're going to, if they're on a, if they have a...
well,
yeah, I'm looking. If they're monsters.
Looks like.
Okay, but if they are being monitored, then the city can monitor that. But I mean, if they're on a well, I think, and the wells are going drying up, and I think a lot of the wells in that area were contaminated, so they have not been used. So
you mentioned contamination most times. Well, within the next month or so. We have the algae blooms.
Right.
With normal levels in the river. What happens if there's not enough water, it's too hot, and it's got this gunk in it? Can they continue taking anything out of the river, or are they going to be coming and talking to you folks and cutting the deal, and, you know, when the water truck comes to town, everybody celebrates?
Well, if we can have them come with a truck and we can fill it up, I think that would be great. But with the water, with the blue and green algae blooms, there's part of the concern we have is the marijuana grows and the excess water being taken out, and then the spillover, the non-cleanup of the sites and the leaching into the river.
And the fertilizer
that
coming down
be,
into
exactly.
it, yeah. Well, sounds like you guys are going to have a little fun for the next few months. is this the things we've been talking about? Are these board actions, or is this Carol and the gang trying to take care of some of the neighbors that are in trouble, and then still trying to somehow satisfy the state, saying what the state is saying?
Well, the board is looking at, are you talking about providing water with
I'm talking about, yeah, just the next couple of months or so.
We're concerned about our neighbors, and if we can provide water and they need it and we have a way of delivering it legally, then we would want to do so.
Do you have to deliver, or do you just make it available?
Make it available, what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I mean by deliver.
And just to add on, the board, we had our board meeting yesterday, and the board did take action on that. So we are going to make our water available. Again, there's, unfortunately, it looks like a few hoops from a water rights perspective, but we're going to start down that path. So if there are folks who come to us, we're in a position to give them the water.
Now, with the 1914 and whether or not you get three strikes and you're out or four strikes and you're out, with that excess water that you have that used to go to the pulp mills, is that subject to some of these cutbacks also, or... Is you guys are a different category?
Our water right is secure. We there's no cutbacks on the MAD, and we're one of the senior water right holders.
One of the things about the excess water we have, it is a river water. I mean, it's not potable. So the water we would like to deliver, it would be ideally would be going to ranchers, farmers, whoever needs that. And then Rio Del, it would have to be processed.
But they do that anyway with the water they pull out of the river.
Yeah.
You just have to.
How that would have to work, right?
Are they talking to you? Is Rio Del
hasn't
called? Yeah. No. Well, I have a friend that's talking to me, and that's why I know.
And
so
she
much
happens
about
to live in Rio Del.
And she lives in
okay.
Rio Del, and we've talked about this, and so it piqued my interest in what's happening there.
I guess I'm just blown away that the phone isn't ringing off the hook with everybody, because I would imagine that surplus isn't a big secret, even out of the area, let alone in the area, that people would be talking and say, okay, I want to be junior pulp mill for 2 or 3 months. I need a little bit here. How can I and be cutting deals left and right on this thing so that their jurisdiction, their service group isn't at risk?
Well, I don't think a lot of people really understand that we do have excess water that we
really
can go
with all the discussions in the pulp mill
actually,
and the big pipes and
exactly. Yeah, I don't think so.
Even in the governmental sectors.
Oh, the governmental sectors should.
Yeah, I think the governmental sectors do. And one of the so I do think they do. The public at large, it's probably a mixed bag. Certain do, but a lot don't. And you know, how can you expect them to some extent? But the other thing is it. So what does a water tanker truck hold? 2,000 gallons? 3,000 gallons?
I think
so,
three. I heard they can hold three.
Yeah, my point is, because we have had a few inquiries. We've had some inquiries on behalf of the Orleans area. We've had some inquiries on behalf of kind of the rancher ag community because of those water right curtailments that happened about 2 weeks ago. But you have to then hire a tanker truck, bring it up, and you get 2,000 or 3,000 gallons, which if you have a really large ranch or farm.
Oh, I thought you were going to say grow.
or grow. Or you're the city of Rio Del or a CSD serving a whole community. You need a lot of tanker trucks. So
I bet you there's a bunch of those guys are looking, wouldn't mind going back and forth or selling those big plastic water things.
The bag, the water bag.
But that's why we're going to put it out there that we have water available. We're going to make it available, and if there is a need that, especially for the ag and the local sea, the Rio Dells and the Orleans, if there is a need that can be filled, we sure want to help.
KINS News and Information Times 345. We'll be back with just a moment.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:47, final couple minutes of the week. This afternoon, it's being spent with Carol Riesch and Barb Heckathorn. So, ladies, what are we looking at here? You got the illegals pulling out of the river that were illegal before this mandate, the pot farmers, okay? And their impacts, you guys mention it often enough, it's got to be sizable. We'll just kind of say it's sizable. You got the legal guys who are trying to play by the rules that are now getting their hands smacked down a little bit. We've got the river flows being a little bit lower than what they normally should be. You guys have got some goofy sneaking water out of out of the dam, or not out of the dam, but out of the lake. So what is best case scenario look like for the next 3 months until we get wet here? From your perspective, not only for your area, but for the entire region. What does that look like?
Well, for our area, you know, we do have enough water for a couple of years. Even if it didn't rain, we would have enough for our retail. The best scenario would be if we were able to assist. I don't think we are going to be able to cure it, but we can help.
Is Fortuna in trouble?
I haven't heard much about Fortuna, Brian. I mean, they get their fundamental sources, wells, I think, recharge from the Eel River. I haven't heard that they have an issue, but I don't know for sure.
So Southern Humboldt and Rio Dell are Rio Dell South, I guess.
Well, I'm also hearing Orleans area. There's a couple of schools that have some issues. They might have their own local source.
I heard the Indian reservations.
The Trinity is low, or not the Hoopaw reservation, but some of the others.
You know, I'm not sure which reservation, but it's just something that I had heard. I'm not an expert there.
Again, it'll be really.
There's still a weekly drought conference call that happens, and some of the county folks are plugged into that, and they keep a real time list. So that's something you can maybe explore with when you have one of the supervisors on a tap here.
That'll be on tap. Okay.
On mic.
Either that means that you're thinking about the water issues, or you're already thinking it's
Friday.
Yeah, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, and you know you're going to be
Friday.
There really quick. Thanks for coming by, ladies.
Thank you.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Carol Riesch and Barb Heckathorn. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go ahead, make it a good day. Hug someone you love, and see you tomorrow morning.
I had no idea.